It is a very rare but very special occasion to be able to be joined by Guy Blackman on Static on 2SER. How are you?
Good, Berko. How are you?
I'm doing really good, and it's very rare that we get to talk to you, Guy, because this solo album of yours, Out of Sight, is a landmark record in a couple of ways. It's your first solo album in 17 years, and it's also the final ever release of a contemporary album on your label Chapter Music, which you started in 1992. After this, the label will revert to releasing occasional reissues. So has it been emotional to get this one out?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, like I felt like I had to put out everyone else's records first before I could really turn my attention to doing my own record. As this part of the label is winding down, it's been really nice to have a new record out, but also kind of bittersweet to be part of this end of an era for the record label. You know, overall, I'm feeling really positive and happy about everything, and people seem to be responding well to the record. So definitely emotional, but also nice.
You do end up being a bit of a martyr, don't you? When you're a fellow musician being busy with a label, you are releasing other artists' music, and it's putting others first when you're curating and operating a label. A lot of the time, thinking about your own material must go on the back burner.
Yeah, I mean, it's no one else's fault but my own. Like, I was kind of self-defeating running the record label, using that as an excuse not to focus on my own music or give myself a get-out-of-jail-free card. You know, I guess part of running a record label is dealing with artists' insecurities and working out ways to encourage them and help them get over the hurdles that they face. And I'm probably worse than just about anybody else. You know, more self-defeating and more self-conscious, I guess.
Well, also, Guy, it sounds like putting that last solo album of yours out, Adult Baby, back in 2008 was a bit nerve-wracking. Did you find then singing those vulnerable queer songs to strangers on stages in the early noughties a bit traumatic?
Yeah, I do feel like it's kind of part of the reason why it's taken me so long to make another record. It doesn't seem like that long ago, 2008, the late 2000s, but it kind of still was a slightly different time when it comes to just the enthusiasm or the understanding for queer ideas, queer songwriting, queer music. The world's kind of come a long way since then in many ways. I mean, been a few backward steps as well. And when I put out Adult Baby, my last solo album, in the lead up to that, I was really determined to make really confessional, brave, fearless kind of songwriting choices, you know, write these really personal songs about gay male experience, I guess. And in the late 2000s, when I was performing those songs live, it just felt like the response was kind of uncomfortable. You know, I got paranoid, I think. I always seem to notice, like, straight men would put their arms around their girlfriends and edge slowly out of the room when I was playing these songs.
Was it almost less a case of overt homophobia, but more just not feeling like you fit in? I mean, there weren't as many like-minded artists and spaces back in 2008.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, there still aren't. In the kind of world that we're a part of, we've always worked in that kind of indie and alternative space with the record label and with my own music, and I can still only count the number of out indie songwriters, especially, like, for some reason, men. There's not that many. You know, I can't think of that many who bother. I mean, I guess Liam Parsons from Good Morning, you know, there's one song where he's like, I've got a boyfriend and a shrink, and that song, Country. And just hearing him talk about being a gay man in indie pop over the last few years. Also, I just noticed playing my songs over the last few years, the response was so different. People just so much more understanding and so much more sensitive and empathetic about the kind of stories I was telling. So it's time to stick my neck out again and put some of these songs out into the world.
And Guy, musically, did it start to feel like there were some younger kindred spirits in your orbit? This album, Out of Sight, you've got done in a few sessions between Melbourne and London with help from Liam and Stefan of the aforementioned Good Morning, and also Liam from Snowy Band. They're all great players and write amazing self-deprecating songs that can cut to the bone sometimes. Did you kind of see a community that could lift you up to make this second record finally?
Yeah, it definitely was a big part of it. The first sessions were really off the cuff. Liam from Good Morning, he lives in London these days. He was like, I'm going to be back in Melbourne in like 2 weeks. You know, we've always talked about doing some recording. Why don't we just do a few days then? And so it was really spontaneous. I didn't have any chance to plan, or we hadn't really rehearsed before we went into the studio. I just turned up and we started learning the songs as we went along. But then from that kind of basis, immediately I had a record that sounded like it could be a record, which was just a nice feeling after all this time. But then I spent another year or so shaping and reworking and mixing, and Liam Halliwell from Snowy Band got involved, and he had a really big impact on making the record sound really sumptuous and beautiful. And also Paddy Mann from Grand Salvo, he did arrangements on my first album, and it was really great to get him back and do some beautiful string arrangements on this album. So I was really thrilled with the way it all came together.
And also, Guy, thematically, Out of Sight, having had that distance from the first record, seems like its older man subject matter is something you've been waiting to grow into for a long time. Lyrically, it is really in your wheelhouse. Writing a song called Men's Hair must have been like catnip for you. It has so many great lines about follicular impermanence, including "so full of life, then hardly there."
Well, yeah, like I've probably been an old soul in a younger person's body for a long time, and now I've kind of grown into my dirty old man phase, you know. A lot of what I want to do as a songwriter is just write about the mundanity of life as a queer person. You know, I guess you get so many kind of presentations of what being queer means, that it's all glitz and flashing lights and rainbow flags everywhere, and I guess there's another side to it that's just boring and dull and just like anyone else's life, except I've been in love with the same man for nearly 30 years.
There's also the opportunity of writing about relationships from an older perspective as well, of how to make the long-term ones work with a mutual understanding. On the song Don't Ask, Don't Tell, it confesses a little bit of silence saves a whole lot of tears.
Yeah, like there's so many different ways that people navigate fidelity and commitment in straight and queer relationships. You know, queer ones, I guess, we have a habit of dealing with complexity and just making space for different arrangements. I mean, a lot of that is kind of me observing other people's lives. I like to sing first-person stories, but they're not always from my direct experience. You know, people have come up to me after I've sung that Don't Ask, Don't Tell song and been like, oh, is that really what your life is like, or is that really how you feel? And, you know, it's not 100% the way, you know, the way my life is structured, but it's a good story and it's a nice conceit for a song, you know.
Your out can always be, it's a little bit truth, a little bit fiction, Guy.
Yeah, exactly.
And speaking of commitment, how long did the decision loom on your mind to wind up the label Chapter Music in its current state? You started it as a teenager in 1992.
Yeah, it's been coming for a while. I run Chapter Music with my long-term boyfriend, Ben O'Connor. He's been involved in the label since 1995, so 30 years. You know, I started the label just as a teenager in Perth, putting out some cassettes, and then I moved to Melbourne and met Ben. But yeah, the last few years we've started having these conversations. I guess it's a post-COVID thing. We were all sitting in a little bubble with a JobKeeper for a while, where everyone had money and everyone didn't have anything to spend it on, so we were selling lots of records via mail order. That was actually a bit of a golden era for us. But then things got really bleak after that. It just seems like a conflagration of different factors that have made running a record label now kind of harder than it's ever been as long as we've been doing it.
Is it also a sign of the times? Anyone can self-release their own music these days, but also it's a shame when it's not curated somewhat. There's always a seal of approval when it's something released by a label you love and follow.
Yeah, I reckon labels are probably just as influential now as they ever have been. I feel like there's an appreciation for the curatorial aspect of running a label now, just because of the fact there's so much music out there in the world, that having a filter that's not a Spotify algorithm or whatever is really helpful for people to kind of hone in on what they want to hear. I think people appreciate the idea of a record label helping guide taste, but the realities of the economics of it now just seem really, really difficult. And for us, we've always put out reissues of older music, new music from the 60s and 70s and 80s, as well as lots of new releases. And it just kind of became really apparent to us that it's easier for us to sell the reissues these days than to get people interested in new music. I mean, that seems to be one of the hardest things to do in the world now, is to be like, here's some new music by a new artist that you should pay attention to. So yeah, we're going to keep the label going, but we're just going to focus on doing a few of these reissues every year and kind of have a more relaxed lifestyle from now on and maybe stop hemorrhaging as much money.
You're probably still a bit too close to all this, Guy, but have you weighed up what the loss is going to be like? Because so much of your own identity and sense of worth probably does get tied up with something like that.
Okay. Don't traumatize me. Yeah, like, of course, what you just said there is very true. And Ben and I have spent so much of our lives with the label being a huge part of our identity. So who are we without that? Yeah, definitely too soon to know or to get a sense of what that's going to feel like. But I don't know, I'm feeling a slight weight off my shoulders. We take on so much with our artists. You know, we often their only kind of point of contact with the music industry, really. A lot of them don't have managers or booking agents or publishers or any of that. So, you know, we end up being record label, therapist, babysitter, all sorts of roles. And the emotional baggage of that, it's really important work and we really value it, but it also can be draining.
Well, as a bit of a pick-me-up, finally, Guy, I think the takeaway should be with Chapter Music that you made a lot of artists' dreams come true.
I mean, it's a miracle that we survived for this long. I mean, I think we must have been doing something right to run a small independent record label in Australia, putting out the kind of music that we were focused on and survived for that long. We're really touched and really honoured. It was such a privilege to work with so much amazing music, and artists have all been saying very nice things to us about what we've helped them do. So yeah, it's been a mutual love fest the last little while.
I'm glad with that deadline looming of this stage of the label wrapping up, it did make you get your solo album Out of Sight over the line. We might have a listen to a song off the album on the radio right now, Guy. I think I've picked the most intense personal song on the record. We'll play Bramley River Road, which is an ode to a location in your home state. It's an isolated spot inland from Margaret River. But the subject matter in this song is quite intimate and heavy.
Yeah, I guess it's one of the most recent songs on the album. It's about realizing that you're about to lose a loved one and there's not much you can do about it. You can Google the details of that song and it's quite real, but I hope no one turns up at my stepsister's holiday house in southern Western Australia.
There's no maps to the stars on Bramley River Road just yet?
Not yet, there's no plaque.
It was so good to talk to you about this solo album, Guy, and also the closing of this chapter of Chapter Music. Look after yourself on the other side, and Ben too. And this is Guy Blackman now on Static. Thanks for the talk, Guy.
Really appreciate it, Berko. Everything.